3. We'll be in Proverbs chapter 3 to start with. Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8. So Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, the Bible says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." And let's go to the Lord in prayer again. Father, we ask that you would bless our time. Father, we ask that you would speak to our hearts through your word, that you would establish our thoughts. I pray, Lord, that you would guide us according to your will this evening. Thank you for the songs that we sung, Lord, that those songs remind us that Jesus, Lord, is the most important thing in our life. He's the one that always guides us in the right direction, and his will is to always, Father, accomplish your will. And Father, we want your will to be accomplished not only tonight in the service, but Lord, daily in our lives. Father, we ask that you would bless in a very great way, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're very familiar with verses 5 and 6. Verses 5 and 6 are often quoted, I know, by me at various times, but it's verses that we all know, that we are to trust in the Lord and not lean upon our own understandings. But before we even get to those verses and other verses that we'll look at, I want to go back to verse number 1. And as the writer writes this, he says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." It's a challenge for all of us to keep the words of God at the forefront of our minds and to allow the word of God to dwell richly in our heart so that we will be guided by God in our life and we'll always seek the Lord each and every day for God's will and God's wisdom and for God's way to guide us each and every day. He says, "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." You remember what God had told Joshua back when Joshua became the leader of Israel, and how God told Joshua that if he would meditate upon God's word daily and not let God's word depart out of his mouth, but he would meditate on them, he would find success. He would find prosperity in the way that he went, and the way that he went was the way that God was leading him through the promised land. "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart." Again, God's word leads us to be merciful to others, leads us to be truthful in all of our dealings, and we are to bind those about our neck that we don't forget to be merciful. We don't forget to be truthful in all of our dealings. And verse 4 says, "So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Again, we want favor with God, and God gives us favor when we follow his ways, because his ways always bring a blessing in our life. His ways always establish our goings. They're always contrary to the world. And even as we sang the song, you know, "I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords," because the ways of Christ always bring an everlasting blessing in the life of a believer. Now, as we get to verses 5 and 6, again, these are verses that I probably quote often, not just in services, but in my own life daily, always reminding myself to do what the Bible says, and that is to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct their paths. There's probably not a single person in here tonight that doesn't want God's direction in their life, because we know that God's direction is always the right direction. That if we go the direction that God's leading, there's always help. There's always resources available to us, because our God shall supply everything that we need. We know the strength of the Lord will help us. His grace will help us. We know there's joy in following the Lord. And I want us to see just a couple of things tonight as we think about and meditate on these two verses, trusting in the Lord with all of our heart, leaning not unto our own understanding, but always acknowledging that God's way is the right way and that God is always looking to show himself great and mighty in the life of a believer. And we should have the heart's desire to, you know what? I want God to show himself great in my life. I want God to be magnified. I want Christ to be lifted up in my life so that not only am I guided in the right way, but, you know, I'm drawn closer to him. My faith is stronger in the Lord. I have the wisdom of God to make sound decisions in my life. So as we look at verse number 5, just in that first phrase, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, it is a command to trust God's word. It's a command to trust God's wisdom and to trust all of God's ways. Trust in the Lord. It's a command, but it's a challenge for us at different times to trust the way of God, to trust the wisdom of God, to trust the word of God when it doesn't make sense. All throughout Scripture, starting with Adam and Eve, it didn't make sense that God gave them all the fruits, trees, all the trees for fruit to eat, but then said they couldn't have one. But that's exactly what God said, and they should have followed his way. They should have listened to his word and allowed his word to truly be the lamp unto their feet and light unto their path. It didn't make sense to Moses to go back to Egypt after he left Egypt 40 years prior. It didn't make sense to him, but he trusted. He followed what the Lord had said. Even God said, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. He's not going to let the people go. And the first time that Moses goes before Pharaoh and says, let my people go, thus saith the Lord, then he complains to the Lord and says, you know what? Pharaoh's not letting them go, but God had already said that he wasn't going to let the people go. God had already said that, you know what? He's going to harden his heart, and in the end, God's going to harden his heart because Pharaoh just refused. And yet God brought the people out of Israel. God did it his way. God showed himself great and mighty, that he truly is the true living God. It didn't make sense to lead the people of Israel to the Red Sea, where they were entrapped between the Red Sea, the mountains on both sides, the Egyptian army behind them. Yet it's exactly where God wanted them to be, so that they would learn to trust the Lord even when they didn't see a way of escape. Even when God said to Moses, tell the people to go forward. Well, the Red Sea had not parted yet, but they had to move forward, trusting that God would deliver them even when they didn't see how. And yet when they took that step of faith, the Red Sea parted. Moses stuck out the rod as God told him to, and the Red Sea parted. They walked across on dry land. It didn't make sense for Joshua, being the leader, to go up against Jericho without lifting a sword in the beginning, but yet following the ways of the Lord, allowing God's word to be that lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path, it gives us victory in our life. And from the beginning until the day that we take our last breath, God wants us to completely trust him in every moment of our life. Even when it doesn't make sense, yet we know that everything makes sense to God. God knows everything, God sees everything, and God has a plan for everything. But we are always learning to trust God's word. In Psalm 18 and verse 30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He's a buckler to all those that trust in him. He's that shield. He is that defense. But we have to remember that all of God's ways are perfect. Proverbs 30 verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. Pure meaning there's no error in it. There's no defilement in God's word. It's pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Think about the Israelites, how they had that pillar of cloud to follow by day, the pillar of fire to follow by night. And God's given us of his Holy Spirit to lead us every day. He's given us his word to guide us, to give us the wisdom that we need, to give us the direction in our life. But also, we are to trust in God's wisdom, because God's wisdom is higher than man's wisdom. His ways are higher than our ways. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 33, the Bible says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." Again, when we come to a place where we don't understand, we do understand that God's wisdom is better. We do understand that God knows everything and we can trust him. Psalm 147 verse 5 says, "Great is the Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." His understanding is infinite. Our understanding, our wisdom is limited, but God's wisdom can be trusted. I want you to just go back and look at Joshua chapter 1. Look at Joshua chapter 1. There's many, many examples in Scripture, but Joshua always comes to my mind. Daniel always comes to my mind. Daniel just trusted the Lord while living in Babylon as a captive, and God just raised him up to a prominent position. God used him to influence several different kings at different times. To go back and think about Joseph being sold into slavery. He didn't understand. God had shown him some dreams where God was going to use him in a great way, but he didn't understand how or when. He didn't understand why his brothers hated him so much, why he was being sold into slavery. But every step of the way, he just was faithful to God. He just allowed himself to keep serving God, to keep trusting God, even when he was a slave in Potiphar's house, even when he was lied against and thrown in prison, even when he helped the butler to realize, you know what, God had given you a dream, you're going to be restored back to your position. Please don't forget me. And yet he was forgotten for 2 years. And yet he just kept right on serving the Lord. Was it hard? Absolutely. But he allowed his focus to be on the Lord. He allowed himself to trust the Lord and to know, okay, God's got a purpose. God's got a reason. I'm going to trust him and hope everything works out for the best because God is in control. Again, God tells Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. God's always trying to encourage us. Be strong and of a good courage. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on the wisdom of God. Don't give up on the direction of God. Don't give up on who God is. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. God's telling Joshua at the beginning, you're going to divide the land up for the different tribes. This is before they even cross the Jordan River. This is before they fight against Jericho. This is before they fight against the different nations that are there in the Promised Land, the Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, all of those. It's before they even fight the first battle that God says, you will divide the land. God tells us in his word that we have victory in Jesus Christ before we even face our next trial. God says you are a blessed people. You are a peculiar people, a blessed nation, because we're God's people. We can trust God's ways. Again, but God tells him in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. We do well not to stray from the truth of God's word, not to stray from the direction of God's word, not to stray from the promises of God's word. We do well, and God promises, as he promised Joshua in verse number 8, thou shalt, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Again, never losing hope in God's word, never stop trusting in God's wisdom. God knows everything. God sees everything. And God cares about the smallest detail of your life. He wants to be involved in every aspect of your life, not just salvation, but every step we take in our life, everything we do in our life. God wants to help us have good success because God wants to be glorified in the life that he's changed, in the life that he is doing a good work in. But also, we must recognize and trust in the ways of God, because God's ways sometimes do not make sense to us. In Isaiah 55, verse 8, God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Thinking about heaven being higher, thinking about God's throne being high and lifted up. God's the one that spoke the worlds into existence. God's the one that created mankind and gave us a life. Therefore, God's way is greater than our way, but his way is the right way, and we can trust God's way even when it doesn't make sense. It doesn't need to make sense to us. I'm glad that salvation makes sense. I'm glad salvation is simple, that even a child can understand it. But there's times where God calls us to do something, as, again, he gave dreams to Joseph, showing Joseph that, you know what, you're going to be in a position at some point where even your brothers are going to come to you for help. And eventually they did. It came to pass. Even as he works in Joshua's life and David's life and in the different lives of those, you think about Ruth. Ruth had just, you know what, she heard about the goodness of God. She grew up a Moabite serving false gods and her with her family and in her homeland. But yet, when her mother-in-law was going to go back to Israel and back to where she was from, Ruth heard about the goodness of God and how he's blessing his people. And that's where she wanted to be. Her heart was drawn to God and to God's people. She didn't know what was going to happen. She didn't know who was going to take care of them. But she wanted to go with her mother-in-law. She wanted to go with Naomi. And yet God directed her steps all the way and blessed her in the end as she became the wife to Boaz and the great-grandmother to King David and was in the line of Christ. And yet she just had a heart's desire to be with God and to be where God's people were, not knowing that God would direct her steps to the property that Boaz owned as she was just trying to glean some wheat to take care of herself and her mother-in-law. Just having that desire to be useful and helpful and just to be where God was and where God's people were. And yet God blessed her. In Titus chapter 1 verse 2, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." Again, the way of salvation is God's way of salvation, and it's a way of blessing. It's not just a one-time deal. It's a one-time deal as far as being saved, but it's the gift that keeps on giving because the love and the grace never runs out in the life of a child of God. Never runs out. God's mercy never runs out for the child of God. The Bible says in Jeremiah 1:5, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." As God uses Jeremiah, God had already ordained what Jeremiah's life would contain, what Jeremiah would be, and he would be a prophet of the Lord. He would be known as the weeping prophet, where nobody heeded his message. He was hated, thrown in prison, thrown in the dungeon, mistreated. And yet he had a heart that he just kept serving God. He even got to a point where he even said, "You know what? I'm not going to say another word. Nobody's listening. It just gets me into trouble. I'm not speaking anymore." And he closes his mouth. But the Bible records, Jeremiah records in the book of Jeremiah, that the longer he kept silence, the more the fire burned within him, the desire to speak for God, because God had put that in him that he just couldn't contain it and he had to speak. There are times where we get frustrated with life, we get frustrated with people, we get frustrated, and we say, "You know what, I'm just not going to say another word. I'm just frustrated with what God's allowing in my life. I'm just not going to do anything, I'm not going to say another word." But yet, because we have the Holy Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit works inside of us. You know what? I have to trust God. I have to follow God. I know it's the right thing. My flesh doesn't want to do what's right. Paul even said that there was no good thing that dwelleth in him, in his flesh. And we have the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. But again, our flesh doesn't want to trust God's word or his wisdom or his ways. But the Holy Spirit inside of us, man, just prods us on and encourages us and reminds us of God's goodness and that God's way is the right way and there are blessings on the path that God has set our feet upon. And go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I believe I read these verses this morning in the morning service. But starting at verse 36 of Romans chapter 8. As Paul writes these words to encourage the believers at Rome, he says, "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." And how true that is, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us. For I am persuaded, this evening, are we persuaded that God's way is the right way? That we can trust God's way in our life? Again, God allows things in our life that we necessarily wouldn't choose to be in our life. Yet God allows things in our life to bless us, to help us to draw closer to him, to help us to see his greatness and his goodness and his grace and his love. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's way is a way that we can trust because God has a love for us that he just doesn't randomly allow things to happen. Everything happens with a purpose. He has a purpose for everything he allows. Why is it that God did not tell the Israelites or even Moses about the giants that were dwelling in the promised land? He just told them about the goodness of the land. Because again, God wants us to think about the goodness of him. Because if they had already known up front that there were giants in the land, they would not probably have even gone. Because the majority of the Israelites wouldn't even go into the promised land after they found out there were giants there. And the 10 spies that were more focused on the giants caused everybody not to want to go in. And here was Joshua and Caleb. No, God's given the giants to us for bread. God has given us this promised land. We can go in and conquer it. And yet, because the majority refused to trust God, refused to trust God's word and God's wisdom and God's way, they all had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, even those that trusted. Humanly thinking, that's not fair. Why do I have to suffer because somebody else didn't trust? That's the human thing. Why do I have to suffer? But you know what? Joshua and Caleb had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. But guess what? God brought them right back around to the doorstep of the promised land because they were faithful to him, because they had a heart for him, they trusted him. And God allowed them to go in, leading the children that grew up in the wilderness, the children who had not refused to go in the promised land. They were allowed to go in, and God blessed even Caleb with the land that he had promised him. Caleb, 80 years old, goes into the mountains and defeats the giants on his property because he knew that God had given that property. And at 80 years old, God allowed him to have the strength to continue welding a sword, continue swinging that sword, continue having a heart and to fight for what God had given him. Doesn't matter what our age is, we should never stop trusting God's word, what he has said and what he has promised, his wisdom, and his ways. Again, somebody once said, he will never let us go, never let us down, and never let us off. God will never disappoint us. God will never forsake us nor leave us. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That's everything we do, the way we think, the way we talk, the way we live. We need to be holy, and that is not being sinless. We can't be sinless. But look, holy in the fact that I wholly trust God. I wholly lean upon God's wisdom and God's word and God's ways. Even if I don't understand, I know that God will always do right. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. And we don't need to lean upon our own understanding, because our own understanding will lead us astray more often than not. But that is a condition of trusting the Lord. In order to trust the Lord, I can't allow my understanding to guide me. The Bible says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. In Proverbs 28:26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. And walking wisely, following the Lord, allowing the Lord to be the guide. In Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We can't even know our own hearts. Our hearts will lead us astray if we allow ourselves to. Genesis chapter 50 says, but as for you, this is Joseph speaking to his brothers, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Again, all throughout Scripture, we find people that just trusted the Lord even when it didn't make sense. Why would God allow a young woman by the name of Esther to be taken? She had already lost her parents. Her cousin Mordecai was raising her as his own daughter, and yet she's taken from him, taken to the palace to be with a heathen king who chooses her to be the queen. Why would God do that? I mean, humanly speaking, we would think, you know, there's no way God would take an innocent person, a person that follows the true God, and make them be a queen to a heathen king. Why would God do that? Well, you know the end of that account, obviously, because it was Queen Esther that saved the lives of her people. She was the only one that could go in to the king and save the lives of her people. She was afraid to at first. She even told her cousin Mordecai that, look, there's a law written that you don't just appear before the king unless he calls you, and he hasn't called me in 30 days. But she was reminded by her cousin that it might just be that God has you here for such a time as this. God has a purpose every day in our life. Every day is not just a coincidence. Tomorrow, when we wake up on Monday morning, April the 11th, it's not just another day. It's a day that the Lord's given us, if we even wake up tomorrow morning, to be used by God, to follow God, to serve God according to his will, and trusting that whatever he allows, it's for a good purpose. And the purpose is always to glorify him, because think about it. Esther would have never chosen to go and be a part of a group of women that would be joined up with a heathen king. But God allowed it so God could use Esther to save his people. Joseph would not have chosen to be sold into slavery, but God used the hatred of his brothers to get Joseph to where God wanted him, so God could use him to save his people. Again, leaning not unto our own understanding, because we will become frustrated. We will be tempted to stop trusting God, to stop walking with God, because we don't understand, and we'll be tempted to believe that God's mistreating us, that God is using us unjustly, that God is dealing with us in a very inhumane way, a very harsh way, but yet everything God does is right. Remember, that's what the word of the Lord tells us, that all the ways of God are right. Again, when you think about Moses in Exodus chapter 14, and Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." And they didn't. Those that pursued after them, the Egyptian army, drowned in the very sea that the Israelites crossed over on dry ground. But looking at verse number 6 of Proverbs chapter 3, the Bible says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." In all thy ways, in all our ways, we have to acknowledge God. We can't just, okay, well, if it pertains to church, if it pertains to spiritual things, well, I'll acknowledge God. No, in all of our ways, whether it's our finances, whether, you know, it's work, whether it's relationships, whatever it is, we have to acknowledge God in all our ways. And you have to let God speak to your heart on what those ways are in your life. What is it that God wants to lead me through? What is it that God wants to be number one in? Take your Bibles, look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And it is, every day, God considers it a sacrifice on our part when we lay down our life before the Lord and we say, "Lord, here am I. Lord, help me to walk in the ways of the Lord. Help me to have the mind of Christ. Help me, Lord, to fulfill your will. Help me to respond the way Christ would respond. Help me to have the grace that Christ has and to look through the eyes of compassion as Jesus does." In Romans chapter 12, we're reminded, as Paul writes again to the believers at Rome, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." Okay, it says, by the mercies of God, helping them to remember the mercies of God in their life. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Reasonable service because he bought us back. He redeemed us from the power of sin. He redeemed us from the clutches of the devil. He's given us a new life in Christ. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We have a new life in Jesus Christ. And God says, you know what? It is our reasonable service. It's your reasonable service to be a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice is, Lord, my life belongs to you. Every day of my life is yours. But that's not the way that we truly live. Every day we think, well, today's my life. I'm going to do what I want. And we don't necessarily say that. But when we don't recognize God in a day, we're saying this day belongs to me. We're saying the decisions I make are the decisions I want to make for me. That is what Adam and Eve were tempted with. Choose your own path. Choose what you think is best for you. Choose what you have a desire for. Choose what you think will make you happy. When God had already said, if you do that, there's going to be destruction. There's going to be death. God had given them everything they needed except for one thing that God said, you know what, you don't need that. And there's always that reasoning of, well, if God didn't want me to have it, then why did he make it available? Why did God have that tree of the knowledge of good and evil available in the Garden of Eden? Doesn't matter. What matters is God said, don't eat it. You can have everything else. And you know what? It's always the one thing we struggle with. God says, out of 100% of your earnings, I just want 10%. I want you to honor me with 10%. But it's the 10% that we struggle with. We always struggle with the one thing that God says, I want that. It's not good for you. Whatever it is, that's exactly what the flesh wants. God says, hey, you can have 90%. You can have all the trees. I've given you everything. Just don't go near that one. And that's the one thing our flesh gravitates to. It's the one thing we can't get off of our mind. It's the one thing that we will try to justify in our minds. Well, you know what? Maybe it's the devil telling me that I can't have that because, you know, God created it. I mean, God gave it to me. But yet, if God says no, then we are to trust him. We are to be that living sacrifice and even say, Lord, I'm struggling with doing this. Will you please help me? I'm laying my life before you. I want to be used of you. I want you to show yourself great and mighty in my life. I want to honor you with my life and everything that you've given me. But Lord, I'm struggling with it. So Lord, would you help me accomplish your will by being that living sacrifice, because I know it's my reasonable service, because you've redeemed me from the power of sin. You've given me liberty to live for you and to honor you with my life. And the best way that we can do that is to follow verse 2 of Romans 12 that says, be not conformed to this world, because the world goes against the things of God, goes against the wisdom of God, goes against the word of God. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind. And the best way that we can renew our minds daily is through the word of God. Meditating on the truth of God's word. If you go back to Joshua, the first battle they got victory over was Jericho. Everybody did what they were supposed to, except for one man. God said, do not take anything out of Jericho. It's all to be burned. And everybody knew it. It's not that, oh, someone forgot to tell Achan. No, Achan knew. And he stole the Babylonian garment. And the Bible says he stole it. Because God considers it stealing from him when he says, don't. And he told them, don't take anything. But he took a wedge of gold. He took some Babylonian garments. And he hid them under his tent. He knew it was wrong, and he was trying to hide it, but it caused the death of men when they went to the battle of Ai. And Joshua falls on his face before God and complains to God and says, why are you allowing this to happen? And God tells Joshua, get up. There's sin in the camp. And eventually it's found out that Achan has sinned against God and he's dealt with. But what I'm saying is, there are times where someone else's sin, someone else refusing to follow God does affect us. But let it not be us and our sin that's affecting people. Are affecting our family, affecting our children. Let us be true in doing what God calls us to do, and that is to trust him, to follow him completely, and changing our thinking, renewing our minds, renewing our thoughts that, you know what, God's way is the perfect way. Because again, notice what it says in verse 2 of Romans 12. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God says, if we'll have the mind of Christ, if we'll allow the word of God to guide us and to direct us, we'll know what God's will is for our life in every situation. We'll know how God wants us to proceed in maybe a job or in buying a car or whatever it may be. We will know if we're putting God first and wanting God to truly guide us. Lastly, I want you to look at the last part of verse 6 of Proverbs chapter 3. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. God promises. He promises he shall direct thy paths. In Psalm 37 and verse 23, the Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. I've never delighted in my way. Because whenever I've chose to do anything in my way, it never works out. It never satisfies. But when we choose to follow God's way, we find delight. We find joy because It works out the way that God wants it to work out, and we trust that it will work out according to God's will, and it always does. Look at Luke chapter 11. Again, it's a challenge, though, every day and every week to truly, completely trust God and his ways. Because we're always tempted to go our own way. We're always tempted to do what we think is best. But we need to always ask the Lord, Lord, is this what you want me to do? Is this the right thing? In Luke chapter 11, let's see here. Yeah, verse 28. Verse 28, Jesus says, "Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. James says it like this, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty," speaking of the word of God, speaking of God's word that does give us freedom. Not freedom to do what we want to do, but freedom in the fact that, you know what? There's freedom in following God's way. There's not a burden. You don't find yourself weighted down when you follow God's way, when you yoke up with Jesus Christ, as Jesus says, you know, put my yoke upon you, learn of me, and we find rest unto the soul. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, again, it's a continual process. It's not just a one-time deal and it's done. That's why Joshua was told to meditate daily so that he would have success. He would have prosperity as he followed God's leading, as he went through the promised land, as he went from battle to battle. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, and we don't want to forget what God's told us. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word doesn't change because he doesn't change. So God's word is perfect for everything in our life, for every decision, for every day, every moment of our life. It will always have exactly what we need. And he says, be not a forgetful hearer, but be a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. God promises to bless when we follow his way, because his ways bring blessings. Go, if you would, one last place, Psalm 23. As David writes Psalm 23, he really sums up the Christian's life. He really sums up God's dealing in the believer's life, and how God wants us not to be animals, but to think about a sheep and how a sheep follows the shepherd, how the sheep hears the shepherd's voice and will follow him, trusting him, leaning upon him for provision, for protection. The Lord is my shepherd, David says. I shall not want or I shall not lack. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As David talks about the Lord being his shepherd, David understood what it meant to be a shepherd. He understood the responsibility of the shepherd. He understood the love of the shepherd, the care of the shepherd for the flock. And as we look through the scriptures and as we see the love of the shepherd in our life, the care of the shepherd in our life, and the fact that the shepherd is here to protect us, the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what? In all our ways, we can acknowledge the Lord because we know He has our best interest in mind. We know that he watches over us. We know that he cares for us, and we know that he wants to lead us to green pastures beside the still waters. He wants to be the provider in our life. He wants to be the one that guides us each and every day. Last place, I promise. Look at Psalm 46. Just as we know that we are to trust the Lord, just as we know we're not supposed to lean upon our own understanding, yet every day we will be faced with that challenge. Every decision we have to make, we will be faced with the challenge of trusting the Lord or leaning upon our understanding. But stopping with Psalm 46 tonight, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We know that God's always available. We know that he is always there for us. We know that we can hide behind him as our shield. We know that he is our defense because he is our heavenly Father and he cares for each and every one of us. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though there's turmoil, though there's unsettledness, though there's chaos in our life, yet we will not be moved, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Why? Because, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength and very present help in trouble. How can I trust the Lord? Because he's my refuge, he's my strength, he's my help each and every day. How is it that I can keep from leaning upon my understanding? Because the Lord knows. Because the Lord has my best interest in mind. Because as the proverb says, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Trusting that, you know what? God truly does have my best interest in mind. God truly does want to bless my life. God truly does want to glorify himself in my life because he's given me life. He's given me a life in Jesus Christ. And everything that we do in life must bring glory to him. That has to be our mindset, that what I do tomorrow on Monday, I want to do it till it brings glory to God. I want God to be glorified in the life that he's given. Whatever it is, I want to do it to the best of my ability to bring glory to him. That's why the Bible tells us that everything we do, we are to do not to pleasing man, but that it pleases God. Because everything I do may not please somebody. And though I am to be generous and kind and loving and helpful to others, yet the focus is to be Jesus Christ. The focus is to be God. That God is to be glorified in all that we do because he's given us this life to bring honor and glory to him.